So my friend Dave, he's very anxious about money. I mean, you know, Matt, like everything costs a lot, right? So each time we're having a Zoom meeting, the budget is always on the agenda. I mean, he tracks everything and yet he still feels like he can't really get ahead. It's always like one more, you know, expense coming in, one more unknown thing that keeps cropping up. But together, my friend, we found a system that's going to help.
Hey, it's Matt Robeson, Financial Life Planning, with our guru resident expert, Mike Morton. Mike, that is a fascinating story, and boy, do I feel it. I mean, I don't know. Is this like the story of our time, that everyone's feeling this anxiety? How commonplace is this anxiety that your friend Dave is feeling?
Yeah. I mean, it's not only like the expenses, Matt, and the budgeting, right? We can just apply this to our life as well. How chaotic is your, you know, the time and attention and your money, just everything coming and going. It seems like, don't we all just kind of yearn for 40 or 50 years ago? Wasn't it like a quieter, you know, quieter time?
I feel like what you're suggesting is we need to make America something again. And I'm not sure what that thing is.
Something.
Something. No, not that. Well, but that very specific feeling that Dave is describing, where I can't get ahead, it feels like, hold on, everything costs so much. I'm not hitting, like, it's not even about hitting financial goals. It's just, I don't even care about the long-term financial goals. What I care about, what's the stress point for me, is I just look at people going off on vacations. You know, it's like, oh yeah, we decided, you know, school break, we're just hitting Key West for a few days. And I'm like, what are you doing? How many drugs are you selling out of your basement? How's your meth lab going, guys? Because for us, it's like we earn good salaries and it just feels like we're running in place. It's like that horrible dream that everyone has where you're sprinting as hard as you can and you're stuck in the same place. Like, I mean, does everyone feel this way? How come everyone else can afford vacations? I don't understand.
Exactly. You know what it is too? You actually made me think of two things. One, the expenses on this, you know, this episode is kind of focused on the expenses and the unexpected expenses, and that can lead to a lot of anxiety. So it could be your vacation, like, hey, we want to take a vacation. And then you click the buttons, you buy some tickets and stuff. And then you're like, what? I just blew a hole like in my budget. You know, how am I going to get this back? That's one thing. But then let me take a tangent for a sec, because your running in place metaphor actually reminds me of another part of this story with Dave. It's funny you should say that. He often would say to me every time we're getting together, like, I feel like I'm not getting ahead, like I'm running in place. That's exactly what he says to me. And so I'll make this.
And you said, cut down on your treadmill.
That's
workout.
Right. Stop with the treadmill. Go outside.
Yeah. Do you want to meet some people? Okay. So that's a joke for another time.
So here's actually a total different tangent, though. It's we talked about his net worth and looking at those graphs rather than the yearly budget graph. And so when we went back 2, 3, 4 years and looked at how much are you worth, your net worth, remember, is all of your accounts, everything you own, all of your accounts plus your house minus everything you owe, so your mortgage, any other debts, and it's one single number. And I track this for my clients each year. And then this is a perfect example with Dave. It's like, yes, I understand, Dave. It feels like you're running in place every time we talk. It feels like we're not getting ahead. But hold on a sec. Let me show you. Your net worth has almost doubled in the last 4 to 5 years that we've been working together.
That's very meta, because I feel like I know where you're going with this. But that's, as just a psychological piece, let's just deal with this piece of it. That's helpful to me because, you know, the same darn thing just happened to me. So like almost back to back, I'm having a conversation with my wife about, we want to turn every summer, we do a small family trip at the beginning of the summer, just our family. You know, usually we keep it real low key, you know, like we go one state over and we get a Vrbo and we like hang out on a lake. It's like, seriously, it's like, hey kids, go jump in the lake. They're like, can we do something? We're like, no, there's a lake.
This is what we're doing.
Anyway, this is kind of the level we're talking about a family vacation. We're like, all right, let's take it up a notch. Let's take a road trip this year. And we're going to go to Pennsylvania. Ooh, I know. Right. It's like Monaco and Monte Carlo all rolled into one. And then we started looking at, here's how much it costs to rent a van. We're going to rent a van and then fly back, right? Mm-hmm. Here's how much it costs to rent a van. Here's how much hotels cost. Here's how much fuel costs. Here's how much, and it just, it started adding up. We're like, well, let's not do this. You know, like with this, just doing this exercise makes us feel poor. Literally the next week, for another thing that I'm sure we'll do a show about because you want to dissect my financial life. For another thing, I had to kind of estimate my net worth. And first of all, I found out that people were telling me I'm worthless. I don't agree with that. I feel like I'm worth something. No, in fact, my net worth has increased because I save, and it just, it doesn't ever feel like it. I do one set of exercise, which is how do I feel about putting some money into a trip? Not even like a super sophisticated trip, but like family of five. And it's like, wow, that's thousands and thousands of dollars. I'm not sure I want to do that. That's one thing. But then I step back and I look at the whole picture and it's like, on the other hand, we're on a very healthy trajectory. So yeah. Thanks. That's helpful.
No, and I think it's a really, really great framing because your example is perfect. Same with Dave's story. It's feeling like, geez, I'm not sure I can do this. I'm blowing a hole in my budget. This is like thousands of dollars. But when you step back and say, oh my gosh, we are making a lot of progress. You know, stock market continues to go up and to the right. You know, my house is worth a little bit more. I'm paying down those debts, the student loans, the mortgages are going down. So we're making a ton of progress that I think it is really important to put in that context and to take those trips. Because those experiences for you and your family are what you're going to look back on and celebrate and enjoy. You're putting, you know, experiences in the bank that you will keep enjoying for many years. And I'm telling you, so many clients are older and have money now and wish they had done more things, you know, little bits and pieces, a couple $1,000 here, a trip there, you know, whatever you can do. Like you want to take advantage of looking at your net worth and saying, you know what? We could have afforded a few thousand dollars. Doesn't feel like it from the budget, but as your net worth is growing, I think it's another great way of looking at what you can afford and putting some effort into those things that you know are going to pay dividends for you and your family in the future.
All right. Can we connect a dot here? Because that was both a tangent and it was also, it was sort of like an appetizer in the main course. It was a tangent, but it's also, I feel like that connects to the larger point and sort of the cliffhanger you left us with at the open. What you opened with was talking about Dave. He's anxious about money. He feels like he's running in place. He's like a super tracker, right? Like in Twilight, like he's that vampire who's a tracker and he's keeping track of all of his expenses. And it's like, boy, always one more thing is coming up, you know? And then you said you found a system that can help. So we left that dangling participle out there. And again, I feel like this connects to our little tangent just now. What helps besides reminding him to look at the big picture?
Yeah. So the issue, the specific issue is he's got his expenses and monthly budget kind of nailed down, right? So, and he can predict that. And so he's got it all written and he's tracking. It's like, hey, man, we should be able to save, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 by the end of the year, you know, based on this monthly budget and the salaries. Okay. But then what happens is every couple of months, something comes in that is expected, but the timing is not monthly. All right. So it's a bill. It's like paying your annual life insurance premium. You know, it could be $1,000. So boom, $1,000 shows up. And you're like, I got this big bill this month. You know, I got to pay off the credit card. If you want to save for your IRA contributions, we're at this time of year. I'm often working with clients. Hey, let's put that money in the tax-free bucket. And it's like, oh, geez, that's $6,000. You know, it's like, where am I getting that money from? Kids' summer camps, you know, come up randomly.
Summer camps.
Right? And so it's like thousands of dollars that show up. Again, you know, you knew you were going to pay for them, but you're just chugging along. And all of a sudden it's like, boom, $2,500.
Wait, I have a hack for this.
Okay. What's your hack?
Just say, hey, kids, there's a lake. Go jump in.
That's right.
Forget summer camps. No, I mean, we're looking at these expenses ourselves. Yeah. And it's like, it's exactly that. It's every year this comes up. And it's not like we're not going to do some camps with the kids, but right. Good gravy.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So you have,
all right.
You have these expected, you know, you're going to pay for them, but they come ad hoc. So that's what was really killing him. So the system.
So he's not going to say, so the feeling he's getting is, I was going to save $10,000 or $20,000 this year, but death by 1,000 summer camps.
That's right.
This comes up and this comes up. It's like, Oprah, you get an expense, you get a bill and you get a bill. And before you know it, it's like, Mike, I'm not saving that $10,000 or $20,000, and that's what makes me feel like I'm treading
water.
That's
right. That's right. So the system is to pre-save for those known expenses and put them into the monthly budget. So now they're in the monthly budget, even though the timing's a little unknown, you know, when exactly the summer camp bills are going to be due, but you make a budget for them, maybe it's $5,000. And so you save that throughout the year in your monthly budget. Same with your IRA contributions, whatever, these one time, you know, or a couple times throughout a year, you make a small list of them. There's four or five that we came up with, and you put some dollars next to them and you total it up and divide by 12, and then you save that money each month. And when those bills hit, boom, you've already saved for them. And this helps on two fronts. One, you've already got the money set aside. So you can just, you know, or you've already saved that money, so the bill doesn't feel that bad anymore. You're like, oh yeah, great, fits in the budget. I got them, and I've got the money right here. But also for Dave, it helps with the monthly budget, because he'd be going through like 3 weeks. The fourth week, be like, oh, we got a little bit of extra. We can go out like an extra, you know, dinner this week or whatever, you know, because we had a little extra. But then these one-time bills would just blow that month up, right? So it really helps again with, you know, setting aside, so that you know at the end of the month, oh yeah, great, I do have an extra $50 this month or whatever it is, because you've already saved for these one-time costs.
You know what you're doing here? You're telling us all, and I feel it, this is going to become the title of the episode. See, you don't need AI. You just need, what am I? I'm not artificial intelligence. I'm like partial intelligence.
PI.
Right. I'm PI. Matt Robeson, PI. Almost like Magnum PI, almost, but less. Yeah. What you're saying basically is adopt the Joker philosophy. There's the scene in The Dark Knight where he's sitting with the prosecutor, who will eventually become Two-Face, and says, you know, if something happens that's unexpected, everyone freaks out. But if something is according to a plan, it's like, well, that was the plan. And essentially you're saying everything you suggest, you are the Joker, is what I'm trying to tell you, okay? In every conceivable way, you are the Joker, Mike Morton. But it's kind of true. It's sneakily true, right? Like, and so what you're saying is just do a little mental trick, right? Like, just turn what feels unexpected into something that's expected. You're paying the same amount. The same is going in and coming out of your bank account. You just trick yourself into saying, I know about this in advance. It's part of a plan, and therefore it doesn't feel bad.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Except we're also going to do some stuff. So this is not just mental woo-woo. Okay, great, I will think of these differently. But we're going to actually implement this as well, so that you get that feeling.
You're putting a bomb on a ferry is what you're telling
me. That's right. No, in the back of the bus.
No, that's speed, man. Oh. Different movie. Oh,
different movie.
Okay. So how do you do this then? How do you implement this? Because I'll tell you what worries me is, it's like, if I've got to save for this thing, and this thing, it feels like now I've got to have like 7 accounts. I have too many accounts already.
Oh yeah, we need to fix your account problem. That's still hanging out there as a participle. So what you do with this is, first, you gather those expenses. So you can look backwards and just make a guess. Oh, I think it's 3 or 4 things that are hitting my budget once a year. And you just write them down. So have a little sticky note or something. Write down 3 or 4 things. Put a dollar sign next to them. So this is like a 5-minute task, all right? Couple of items, put a dollar sign next to them. You can do your automatic savings too, your IRA savings, you know, if it's 6,000, or, you know, if you're a couple, 12, 13,000. So put that in there too. Add it up. And now you've got a total figure that you are going to open up just one account, Matt. All right. So I recommend you can just use one additional savings account. Because what we don't want,
the slush fund.
A slush fund. Yeah. An expected cost fund for, you're gonna use this throughout the year, but not your everyday, not your monthly stuff.
Can I help you with your branding problem? Let's call it the Joker Fund.
The Joker Fund. All right. This is the Joker Fund. And yeah, so you can do this anywhere, right? So you've got your everyday banking account, but the whole idea is to, just like your 401k savings, 403b savings, you never even see them, right? It's not part of your monthly budget. Mm-hmm. It's just, so we want to do the same thing. Let's be proactive about it. So whatever you do your banking, they'll let you set up another account. So you can just log in and you want it out of your everyday direct deposit, your checking account that you pay your credit cards. You want to open up one other savings account, right? And you can call it the Joker savings account, the Joker fund. And then each month, take that, you know, you get those five things. Each month, set up an automatic transfer from your direct deposit account into that account. And that's it.
And that's it. And there you go. Okay. First of all, this Joker fund, this is like in Mean Girls when they're trying to make fetch happen. We're going to make Joker fund happen. Okay. This is a thing now. We've copyrighted it. It's over. This is called the Joker fund. This is how you turn the unexpected into a plan and go from feeling panicked about it to feeling good about it. Okay. So the readback is, it's very simple arithmetic. It's just, here are all the things that feel like they're coming out of left field and walloping me throughout the year. It's not that hard to figure out what they are. Mm-hmm. Dollar amount, divide by 12. That is the monthly set aside that I'm going to have directly transferred from one account into the Joker fund. And then I'm going to pay for things out of the Joker fund.
That's it, man. Yeah, how easy is that?
It's really easy. So this is mostly a mental transubstantiation, but it feels like it's also valuable from an overall financial planning standpoint, because it helps you to get a better handle on, you know, these seemingly ersatz, random, you know, kind of things that are incoming, and it helps you to focus on that bigger picture that you were suggesting as a palliative to, oh my gosh, it feels like I'm running in one place. So this gets incorporated into your plan, and then that helps you to focus on, now let's look at overall what's happening with assets, liabilities, and net worth.
Yeah, I mean, it really helps because it's just organizing the information in a way that aligns with your everyday life. So it's, you know, it's analogous to like email or your work. You know, stuff is confusing. There's stuff popping in all the time. Is it urgent? Is it necessary? Is it important? You know, do I have to do this right now? There's all kinds of things. So we all have systems, right, that help us keep organized around that. And so this is the same. It's a financial system. Yeah, it's the same money. You have the same 24 hours in a day. How much are you going to get done? How many emails are you going to answer? What work are you going to work on? You organize that, right, and have a system. This is the same thing. It's just a system to help you feel, you know, help you feel more organized about the money and where it's going.
One last question. Since this is money that should be accessible, and we've talked recently about how much you want to keep, not even in cash, but in readily usable form. On the other hand, interest rates are relatively high right now as we record this. Maybe they won't be by the time people listen to this. Right. And there are, you know, short-term types of accounts that can earn you a little percent. So you could be talking about putting $10,000, $20,000 in the Joker fund, and it might sit there for 6 months. You could get a little interest on that. Is there a particular type of account that you recommend making your Joker fund account?
See, now you're getting complicated, Matt. We got to keep it simple, man, or else people aren't going to do it.
Yeah, you're just selecting account types. No, you're always talking about, it's like, it's a drop-down menu. Come on, man.
All right, use a savings account. Hopefully your bank, wherever you're opening this account, just do it there. That's the easy, low-hanging fruit. Yes, savings account. Yes, if you can put it in a money market. Hopefully you're getting about 5% interest on this money. If not, then you could do it at, you know, Fidelity, Schwab, or whatever, and transfer money there and use the money market. But the thing is, I wouldn't bother so much. I would just have it in whatever bank you're currently using. Just open up a new account there. If it's, you can get savings, if you can get some interest, fantastic. But the point is, you are going to be using this money throughout the year. So you are going to be paying out of it. So you probably won't end up with a lot of money there. Now, if you do, that's fantastic.
So you get 2 or 3%. Yeah. Right. If you get 2 or 3% and it's on like $10,000 and you make a couple hundred, great.
Yeah. And not even, but it's funny when you start, you know, saying the dollars, it's like nothing. It's like $20. You make like $20. So don't worry about it.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right. Anything else to cover on Joker funds? We've done some good work here today. We've come up with a whole new term for something.
Yeah. I think this is really just a really important way that you can do this. It does take 5 or 10 minutes. All right. It does take a few clicks and stuff and some mental, you know, you've got to, you know, figure it out and sort of track it throughout the year. I think that if you put in the effort, it'll be well worth it. If you have this kind of, you know, these unexpected costs. And the other thing I will say is, even if you have, this is classic for saving goals, right? Like, oh, I want to buy this thing. Let me put away $50 a month, you know, or I use it a lot with clients on vacations. Oh, you want to have a vacation budget? Like, this will work for you, Matt, right? Hey, man, it's going to cost us like $3,000 to do this thing. Well, why don't you just start saving a few $100 every month? You probably won't notice. And then 6-12 months from now, it's like, yeah, we're definitely going on that vacation because I've already got the money. It's right here.
And actually, you know, again, we're recording this. Not sure when people will listen to it, but we're recording it right around tax time. So this is a particularly good time of year. You've probably just gone through the exercise of going back through your big expenses. You know, like this always comes up with us. It's like, oh, our property taxes. We paid those bills quarterly. Right? What was that again? You know, and so, and it's not unexpected. Yeah. It happens every 3 months. Yep. So there you go. All right. We've done good work here today. I feel proud of us. Now we can go relax.
Excellent. Done our work for today.
Give a conundrum for people on a ferry. All right. For Mike Morton, I'm Matt Robeson. We will see you next time.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for joining us on Financial Life Planning. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to and rate the podcast on Apple iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. It makes a massive difference. If you have a comment or question, please email me, mike@mortonfa.com. Until next time, thanks for tuning in. This recording is for informational purposes only and should not be considered for investment advice. Opinions expressed are as of the date of recording. Such opinions are subject to change. I cannot guarantee the accuracy or completeness of the data presented here.